All right, well, let's go ahead and call the meeting to orders. Let the minutes show that all board members are present, as well as Mr. Belmont, and we have seen and approved the minutes, and they will stand as signed and distributed. And OSU Extension 4-H update, come forward, please.
Good morning, Mr. Geltner.
Good morning.
It's good to see you again.
Yes.
Wow, here we are, full swing, another year. 4-H is getting busy. We're ramping up. We're utilizing the Harney building on a regular basis. This is the time of year where things start to click along. We've got dates now set for our weigh-ins that are on the calendar. We have a date set for Dippity U. I need to compare notes with Amy and make sure those all work, but they're not much different from last year, so I think they'll be okay. Nothing more than that to report, other than things seem to be going fine with a little bit less rain. We seem to have fewer water leaks, and everything is working well for us. Quick fair update. I did meet with Mr. Belmont, and we discussed the needs of the university and the memo of understanding that we're going to draft. I think we're both pretty comfortable that will be doable. We have some time to get it done from the university standpoint, so we're pleased about that. Probably have an update at the next meeting, although it may take another 30 days after that to get everything finalized, I'm guessing. Michelle's been working diligently on our promotional packets and advertising. She's got a little more to talk about in that front. We're booking entertainment, and it's fun. We have a little bit of cash carryover this year that allows us to actually pay for some music. We're still sticking with the premise, though, that featuring local and regional talent is what we want to do. We know that there are we proved last year that there are local and regional acts that the people want to hear. We want to bring them back and give them the opportunity to play for the local people again. And we know that there are groups that we didn't get last year that we want to attract this year. We met some regional people at the Oregon Fair Association conference, made some good connections there, and we're in the process of booking a couple of those acts maybe as our headliners. So we're pretty excited about that. I think it'll be a good show. We also went to the Wooden Boat Show meeting yesterday, Michelle and I, and had a good conversation with everybody at the Wooden Boat Show. They're probably not as taken aback by our dates overlapping again this year. I think, again, they would have liked to have their own dates or not had our program interfere with their program, but I think the general consensus was that we did work very, very well together last year, and that we can make improvements on that and show that it is beneficial for us to cross-promote, and we had some more good ideas that we didn't incorporate last year that I think we will be able to incorporate this year to make that relationship even better and stronger.
Well, so Todd already said it. Basically, we're getting all the paperwork updated for vendors, for sponsors, and so forth. I was thinking I probably should have brought more than just a copy of each of these, and I can send them over electronically so that if you folks are out anywhere and want to drop them off. One thing to note, if you're looking at the sponsor packet, all the pictures that are in there are from our fair last year. So folks are asking about that. Everything that's in these packets now is from last year. Website, I'm just getting to updating that. I'm going to try to get that to be the same thing, just all pictures that thankfully Casey took for us and posted on our Facebook page. So we have those updated. We're already out talking to sponsors. We welcome, of course, your ideas as to who else we might speak to. We are a little bit further ahead of the game this time, so we're able to get into a few more budget cycles, we hope. Vendors are already replying to me. I sent it out to last year's vendors yesterday, and I had 5 or 6 emails already. Yes, 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 I'm sending my app, saving my spot. So we're excited to get those filled up. We, depending on what activities we get outside, we'll sort of determine how we set that up. We're playing. We have the bouncy houses, and so we're trying to figure out where we want to locate those and where it's best to locate vendors and so forth. So we're shaking that out. I will say, just to kind of get the bug in the air, and I know Bill Hall was involved in this. The Civil War folks will probably be back, so if we have an opinion on the Confederate flag, we'll probably want to have that stated if that's something that we even want to address. So we have, I will send this along for sure. The vendor handbook is much more detailed. Last year I only included essentially the application page because we really didn't know. I talked to Linn County and essentially stole a great deal of their verbiage from their vendor handbook. They've been very successful for a long time. So there's a lot more details in there about requirements for them. And with that clause that says anything we feel is inappropriate, we can ask that it be removed. So good. That sort of gives us that little out there as well. So excited to be moving forward, and it's looking good already.
So the actual dates of the fair are?
19, 20, 21 of August.
Maybe for up until the fair, Tanya, we could just always on the minutes put that back so it's always there to remind us what the dates of the fair are, since that's our primary reason for being. And is there anything you can report about the OFA convention?
Of course, it was my first attendance of the convention. Michelle had been there previously with last year with you. I was floored. I was blown away by the contrast or the difference between the spring conference that I had been to I guess it was a spring conference that I went to in Hood River, and the winter conference in Salem. My gosh, it was incredible. The ability to network and communicate with not only other fairs but with vendors. We found a lot of really fun stuff that we would like to do. Of course, it's all budget related, and we're rolling that into our budget to see what we can do. But some good educational pieces as well. Some workshops that we attended separately and then brought those collective notes back together that I think we were very pleased that we had attended. The keynote speaker, the fire chief from the Tualatin Valley Rural Fire Protection District, was amazing. Quite a character, now retired, but very much a good motivational speaker that was worth listening to.
I heard him present at an Association of Oregon Counties conference last year. He is quite a presenter.
He also did another individual workshop that was good. So yeah, it was well worth the time to attend. Absolutely.
It's worth noting it's shifting, so they have made a decision to shift to October. So this year it will happen again in October this year, and it's going to the Linn County Fairgrounds.
Linn County Fairgrounds in Albany. Yeah.
In Albany, and it will be a whole different beast. So the whole hospitality suites and all that are going to shift how they do those things and how we see the entertainers and so forth. So we'll be looking for, don't be surprised, you'll be getting emails sooner rather than later on that already. So.
And Amy has given us a report and says that the money has come already for this year, so that's good news. Mm-hmm. And continuity.
Yeah.
One other piece that I didn't report, we also have commissioned Casey McEnany to do our fair poster again this year. So it will be similar in style, at least, to last year's poster. And we're excited about that, to have some continuity of those posters. So
great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And Emily, did you want to have anything to share with us?
Well, actually, Charlie and I each have something.
Okay, come on up.
Come on forward.
You're here. Thank you. Emily DeHuff, president of Friends of Lincoln County Animals, and Charlie Nelson, the manager of our Pick of the Litter thrift store. We just wanted to keep the board informed that we continue to explore options for the thrift store location. We understand that no one's asking us to get off the fairgrounds, and you've been very gracious about allowing us the use of that building all these years at such an advantageous rent. We've been able to spin straw into gold at that location, thanks largely to the efforts of Charlie and our volunteers. But we are kind of at the critical point in the ability to continue to spin that straw into gold at that location. We get more donations than we can comfortably process and retail there just because of limitations of square footage. So we can continue to vamp there indefinitely, but it would help us get to the next quantum level of revenue if we had a more adequate space. So we keep looking at anything that comes up on the market, just so we don't pass up any golden opportunities. Nothing that's ideal has come along, and nobody in 7 years has offered to give us a building. But we are looking. I also wanted to thank Todd and Michelle for their willingness to work with us on giving us at least partial use of that fair office. We understand there really isn't another place to put the fair office. And they were gracious enough to say you can take the back half of it. But when we started thinking about actually doing that, we realized that making any modifications there would involve a permit, and a permit would involve an inspection, and an inspection could result in our being shut down entirely, depending on how the inspector viewed that building and their present use of it. So we thought, probably better not to open up that Pandora's box. So we are going to muddle along as we are. We had some conversations with Frank a few months ago about just pie-in-the-sky brainstorming, and one of the ideas was possibly sometime in the future partnering in some way with the county on a purpose-designed building of some sort on or near the fairgrounds, of which we would either be a co-owner or a tenant. And that's one of the options that we would like to continue to pursue whenever it seems feasible or convenient, depending on funding sources and land use and that kind of thing. But we would like to continue to work with you on what to do with this this great community. Excuse me, my husband's taken up smoking again. This great community asset, the Pick of the Litter thrift store. And Charlie has one proposal to make it a little more functional for the time being that he's going to present.
Well, we've had to limit donations, especially during peak season, summer, fall, and we don't want to do that. We want to be able to take everyone's donations, but there were more than a few days that we had to refuse donations entirely just because we didn't have room to absorb them. So we're hoping that we can at least add a little more square footage for this purpose in the form of a replicated receiving shed, like identical to the one we put in 4 years ago. And it would be directly south of it where we currently park our lift truck. And then the lift truck would move a spot down, so we're not really taking any more of our footprint. We're just kind of shuffling things a little, and it doesn't impinge on other territory, and there's no parking lost. We would park our van in front of our dumpster, and so that's a good thing. And I believe that it wouldn't require a building permit. The last one didn't. It was the largest size we could order that didn't require a building permit to install. However, when it was installed, a water line was pierced by the anchor, and that had to be fixed. And so I'm pretty sure there's that same water line continues in the area where we want to put the other shed, and so we would have to find out where they are and avoid that from happening again. I think there was a building there once, a floral building years ago.
Correct.
Plumbing line there. I think that's the water line that was pierced.
Are you hearing this, Jack?
Yeah.
Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah. So we would like your permission to erect more receiving shed infrastructure, if you want to call it that. And that could get us through the next year without having to turn people away. unless our donations increase even more fold.
Could we ask Jack to weigh in on that initially, and then also take a further look at it?
I don't see an issue with it, quite frankly. It's we've got a pretty good idea of where that water line runs now, and we should be able to avoid it, but it really won't impact the fairgrounds as a whole right now.
I don't have any problem with this, but I would strongly suggest that Charlie work with Jack with regard to things like the location and provision of utilities and so forth, and exactly where it's going to set and the rest of it. And then if there's any problem, Jack, you can get back to us in the next meeting.
These structures are at least theoretically movable. Mm-hmm. So if we do have to relocate the thrift store, we can pick them up and take them.
So that's a plus.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why I'm concerned. I'm sure proceeding. We are talking about a move.
Do we need to vote on this?
Why don't you put it in the form of a motion just so we've got it on the record, Mr. Bisman?
All right, so it's, what are you calling it? A receiving shed?
Receiving shed.
And the second receiving shed.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll move that we approve the installation of the second receiving shed for Focus in accordance with the discussion that we just had. And county staff, specifically Jack, with regard to the specifics of the installation.
Second.
All right. Got that, Tanya? All right. All right. If there is any further discussion, if not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That looks like unanimous.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Am I correct in my assumption that everything that's brought to that Goodwill truck leaves our community?
I don't know. There is, of course, a big Goodwill store up in Lincoln City now. So,
right, but, I mean, that's the only... They don't have any presence here other than a collection site, right?
Not in Newport, no.
Right, okay.
No.
Okay. And then I just wanted to weigh in on Emily's comment. And so when I met with them and we were talking pie in the sky, I got to thinking... You know, especially about Jim's comment about how many years out we're going to be, and whether we could conceive of an administration kind of a building, and I was seeing the corner of 7th and Harney, okay, opposite the fairground, so that when it comes time, we would have a presence over there, and so... letting the imagination flow, I thought, well, maybe we could make a home for 4-H, make a retail spot where they could be giving us some money, maybe even more than they're giving us now, and we would have a fair office in advance of when we actually, so we'd have a place for a fair manager and for staff and stuff before we actually had to attack the property in 4 or 5 years, if not longer down the road. So that's kind of the seed that we were discussing, and I would hope that, you know, the rest of the board would take it into consideration and see if maybe your own imagination might see something like this that would benefit a lot of us in the future, because we wouldn't be dependent on what buildings we have to save or not save and have a working place and also making some money towards purchasing of a new building. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to have county staff update now.
I'm not sure. I want to talk about one thing. This county staff update.
Can I start off and then maybe hand it off to you guys if we could?
It's one for Jim.
Yeah.
You have one.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to continue the board meeting now.
Okay, an update on the process of potentially the Board of Commissioners going forward with a transient room tax measure. The discussion continued last night at the Board of Commissioners meeting in Newport. Mr. Belmont provided two documents to the BOC last night, and copies have just been provided to Mr. Geltner and Mr. Bisman. One of them is a draft ordinance, which amends the room tax to from the current 9% for the unincorporated areas to 10%, dedicates that entire amount for construction and operation of a facility at the Commons, and essentially indicates if surplus funds are available at some point for similar facilities. There is also a draft explanatory statement for the voters pamphlet, and also Commissioner Hunt requested a pro forma, and this is projecting at 1% room tax measure, a 20-year bond showing $9,120,000 being available for capital projects. And again, based on very sketchy or preliminary data, you know, that Eco Northwest a couple of years ago put the cost of a 25,000 square foot exhibition hall at $8 million. And so, actually $7.5 million. And so, based on some projections the county engineer Steve Hodge did, that if we're starting construction, around in 2020, we're probably talking about a $8 million project, or perhaps a little more than that. So, even though the board had never specifically directed focusing on 1%, the recommendation in the Don Mann report was to look at anywhere from 0.5% up to 2%. I think we evolved and kind of settled on this because it was clear 0.5% would provide too little revenue to do this project. And if we got into 1.5% or 2%, then we're getting beyond the range of other cities and counties up and down the coast. But if the unincorporated county TRT goes from 9% to 10%, that keeps us right in range with both of those. And the question, let's see, a couple of questions that have been raised with me. Let me say this, that I would say there was a consensus of at least two of us, myself and Commissioner Hunt, to move this forward as an action item for next week, that we need to take action this month if this is going to go on the May ballot. I'd say Commissioner Thompson said he is still reserving judgment on this project, and I'll just leave it at that, let him speak for himself. Let's see, the question has been asked to, well, Mr. Beisman brought forward on behalf of county staff what we're calling the interim capital plan, and whether we're going to proceed, when and where we're going to proceed with that. And I think, again, no formal action, but the consensus in the board's discussion of this over several meetings has been wanting to not proceed with that plan until such time as the people pass judgment on the larger plan. I think the concern and the logic being, do you really want to invest $500,000 or more into this property if the people do not want to support the larger vision for redevelopment? But maybe now it'd be good for you to weigh in, Jim.
Yes, I've had a conversation with staff folks about this, the event this year, the coming year. There's two particular things that are really of concern. One is the water line along the fence there with the high school for the vendors, and the other is the electrical for the vendors. Those two things are part and parcel of the larger recapitalization project. But what I'd like to talk about is breaking those out at this point and proceeding with those two particular components. If we wait until the outcome in May, it's going to be too late to get it in place for this year. And I really think we need those two things in particular in place for this year. Last year, as you know, we had an interruption around Saturday at noon hour with the electrical and so forth. What you may not know is that my understanding is that it cost us $6,000 just in the repair bill for that incident. So I don't have a number for you. I'm just doing the water line and the electrical. But at this point, I believe it will be something less than 50. I'll get a more specific price from county staff and get it back to you. I'd like to seriously consider at least getting something in place to take care of our vendors, these food vendors in that area. I mean, the current situation is just simply intolerable. So that's what I'd like to talk about. Jack, you want to weigh in anything additional on that?
Not really. We'll just I'll solicit bids for the spider boxes, cords, plug upgrades, and the panel upgrades, and get back with some numbers on that. The plumbing is pretty straightforward. It's just a matter of increasing the size of the supply line and installation of some frost-free spigots along that fence line, and get it up out of the ground and out of the soil. And I think we can do this for under 50, but until I get the hard bids, I won't know an exact number.
Okay, Todd.
I applaud Mr. Beisman's foresight in seeing those two issues. They clearly were detrimental last year and need to be fixed. The only thing that I would add is that the water supply to the 4-H barn, livestock barn, is also substandard. Last year we were able to talk the city into giving us hydrant water, but they made it very clear last year they won't do that again, and we do not have enough water to operate the livestock barn in the current configuration. So if that could be worked into the plan as well, recognizing that those are on two opposite sides of the fairgrounds adds significant challenges, but somehow we've got to get a better water supply to the livestock area.
I'll add that.
Okay.
Okay.
So I would like to, at this point, make a motion that the Fair Board recommends to the BOC that BOC authorize proceeding with these projects as soon as bids can be solicited.
We're going to be okay out of the capital fund with this because it is part and parcel of what we're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll second.
So is there, in the eyes of Focus and 4-H's, is there any other issue related to what you need to be doing that can be piggybacked onto this, or is this going to do it?
There are other smaller improvements that we've talked about over the last 4 or 5 months, and I've been talking with Jack about those. I don't know if those are necessarily long-term capital improvements or maintenance issues, but I think we could be prepared to come back with a list of other necessities that we would hope would be in place, but probably not things that are critical or as critical as those three items, but things that would be certainly beneficial to move forward with sooner rather than later.
I'm willing to consider those things, but at the moment what I want to do is address the critical issues for this year's event, and I think we've identified them. The water line along the fence, the electrical for the vendors, the water for the horse, or for the 4-H. Jack, you got another
one? There's a lot of the things that are on the list would not be considered infrastructure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They would be, they're improvements most definitely. But I think this needs to be focused on infrastructure if we're going to pull from that fund.
And we may be able to work some of those things in some other manner through routine maintenance or something. But again, right now it's those three critical components for this year's event that I'm concerned about.
My only point was that we don't want to go back to the commissioners more than we need to. So it sounds like we would catch the main points by proceeding with this motion.
That is the intent.
Okay. All right, very good. Then all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
Chair, right. Can I get mine very quick?
Yeah, I have to. Mr. Bellman.
Oh, yes.
Four things very quickly. First is that I am working on the signage agreement with the city of Newport. We'll be coming back to you with that very shortly to move forward to get the signage. Hopefully we can get that in place before the fair event this year. I'm pretty sure we can do that. Second is that we had a discussion last night, a pretty lengthy discussion about the future of the farmer's market. The city, it looks like they had moved the farmer's market to over here off the courthouse property here, and that led to a number of problems with some of the commercial vendors along 101, and it looks like the city is looking at alternatives, as is the farmer's market. They're really trying to do something for 2016, but they're also looking for something in the future. So we discussed some other options, including moving it on to Nye Street, which did not seem to work out very well for any of the parties involved. You know, and so it may be that for at least a year and maybe for a longer period of time, it's not going to work well within this core area. They would love to have 101 or 20 access, but they realize they're not necessarily going to get that in the future and will continue. One of the options we talked about was the possibility of moving the farmer's market back to the fairgrounds.
Where they started out.
It started out. It sort of got everybody, you know, wow, this is the turnaround, come around. And I did have an opportunity to talk to Todd about, you know, my concern is for 2016. Right now we're focused on just the next year. For 2016 is making sure it doesn't interfere with the fair. That's the one event during the summit that's going to have all the grounds doing things out there. And so Todd actually has a plan. They had actually had a plan in place to bring the market and a presence in the market into the fair last year, and it sounds like that could work again. And that was when they closed Harney Street, they could put them into the surface area in there. But otherwise, we talked about the possibility of being in sort of the southeast corner on the other side of where the animal shelter is over there. The fair didn't seem real happy about that, or the market didn't seem happy about that, I should say. And so the discussion now has moved to the possibility of the city closing Harney Street.
Wonderful.
On Saturdays for the market, so they could still be on a paved surface. And so we would be basically kind of a parking, overflow parking, if they did that. Or maybe they'd have some of the vendors up on the fair property and some of them in a portion of the street. Mm-hmm. So that's, stay tuned for that. I'm pretty sure that given the fact that the market needs to know where they're going to go soon, that you'll hear about something about that sooner rather than later, and probably in March.
You're going to close Harney, don't forget, you got the fuel site issue, you got the animal shelter issue, you got the transit bus.
Yeah, it would be, yep. What they'd be talking about is moving it basically on the northern part. They don't need the whole street. Entirely the whole street they do not
need. Yeah. I'm not telling you, you've got those factors to think about.
Absolutely.
What about infrastructure for that, in terms of power and water and all that?
Right now there's no power, water, or anything for the water.
And it would be up to them to supply.
They basically supply porta potties, and that's it.
Yeah,
and they exist without having water or anything else right now. So,
okay,
that's number one. Or number two. Number three is that I have been working with Amy and with John Wachmann-Schmidt on these private party usage agreements. And thanks to Amy, she's doing a great job. She's actually been looking at some other counties and pulling things together. She's actually given me a draft. I haven't had time to review it for today's meeting. Mm-hmm. I apologize. We'll try and get to that next time. But it looks like we're pulling some things together that we can move forward with. And the final thing is, last night, the other discussion we had is one of the linchpins for our future plans is the partnering with the city and the availability of urban renewal funds. And just kind of the way it was couched last night as being that, of course, that project, the exhibit project, is in the urban renewal fund, the funding, but we have to work out some details. And I'm thinking that the way my discussions with city staff are that I'd like to get a memorandum of agreement, something that outlines specifically what the expectations are of the city and the county are for doing this, the joint activities out there, down sooner rather than later. So we'll be entering into some discussions about putting that into a more formalized area. It was interesting. Derek Tokos was there, and he's the main liaison from the city staff. And timing-wise, I mean, he seemed to think that 2020 period might be a time when they could actually float bonds as early as 2020 and put this project in place. So while that, to me, is the biggest unknown of timing, of when this is actually, when they're going to generate the increment financing that would allow them to actually put forward some major projects, I think is the biggest unknown. At least from their perspective, what they're looking at is that this is not out of the realm of possibilities to see this happening in 2020 or shortly thereafter. So that's all I have.
So in terms of this, what Bill showed us, it becomes a political process somewhere along the way. And what are we allowed to do by law? I mean, in terms of, like, you know, one of the biggest portions of this community that we need behind us is the lodging property. And we haven't really done anything or talked about it. I'm just wondering if there's any way, maybe you could think about it before the next meeting, what we could do of a positive nature to, like, go YB, get a letter of support there, get the lodging properties, even if we have to bring them together, because they're not as strong as they were when they basically forced, I mean, they were a pretty big voice in the failure of the City of Newport Event Center.
Well, can I suggest this?
Yeah.
And myself and other county staff members cannot be involved at all in anything that promotes or opposes any kind of ballot measure. We have very strict laws in Oregon about our ability to participate. And because what you're really looking for is somebody who might, you know, write, let's say, something in a voter's pamphlet that supports or,
right,
you know, gets them. That's something that really the community needs to do. You know, there can be groups that get together and want to support the measure, to support the overall plan for what they're doing. But we have to maintain, and Bill is an elected official also.
I've got
what he's doing. So
am I restricted in any way? As
you know, you're an appointed member, which makes you a little bit different in a sense that, but, and really the restrictions don't apply to elected officials. So we have to be somewhat careful. And being careful what you can't do is you can't do it on any of your time, like, you know, when we're involved in this. You as a private citizen can do whatever you want out there in doing those things. And just as I as a private citizen, in my private capacity, can do certain things. But we've got to be extremely careful with anything we bring to staff here and have staff involved in doing
staff that. Can provide factual information.
That's
basically. And so Mr. Belmont, if I'm hearing correctly, that like Mr. Geltner can go out and he can say, I, Frank Geltner, community member, community advocate, encourage you to support this room tax measure, but he can't say, I represent as chair of the fair board, the county appointee. I'm asking you.
And I'll do a little bit more. I'll give you more detailed information because it is. I mean, it is unique. This is a little bit unique in terms. I know how to advise the elected officials. That's pretty simple. And we have a lot of information that appointed officials who are not employees. And there's a lot of stuff that deals with employees and what we can do as staff. You're in a little grayer area.
I guess this is more akin, although actually school board's elected, but again, school board members are elected.
They're elected.
So, they are unpaid volunteers.
Okay. So I will actually provide you by the next meeting some additional information.
Just
for the record, I'm also still doing a little work for Public Works and so forth.
Yeah.
So I will not be weighing in publicly in any way, shape, or form on any of this. I'm out.
Okay.
And then if this does go to the county commissioners, then an official decision would be forthcoming by what date?
It's next Wednesday. The 17th. That'll be a go, no go on that.
Is that something I can come and?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what date is that?
Wednesday, the 17th, 9:30 a.m. in this room.
All right.
It is going to be on the agenda as a decision action item. I've got one other thing, Mr. Chair, that I should share. Probably should have mentioned
it. Hold that thought for a second. Would you make sure you make a...
I am not available. I will be in Florida on a marine studies tour for a chief.
But, I mean, just spread the word.
Yeah,
to whoever
will have somebody here.
Could make a comment about it, okay? Mm-hmm. And same with Focus, since you're all private citizens anyway. Okay.
I should mention that I had contact from Stephanie Lynn regarding the Sportsman's Show, and she has said, let's see, a couple of things. She's decided to put the event on hiatus for 2016. She's looking at it being an every other year event, and although she was exploring moving it to Lincoln City, she's decided she would like to keep it in Newport at the Commons, and... So sometime in 2017, and she was interested in the timeline, and so I explained what we were looking at on the election, the possible city urban renewal money, the possible undertaking of the interim capital plan, and then the construction plan. So she understands. Yes?
Yeah, she's yet to pay for 2004.
Right, and we had told her not to pay until we had resolved some of her issues, and I don't believe Mr. Belmont has sat down with her to work that through. So that was at our directive because she indicated she was unhappy. So we said that not to pay until we had a resolution to those things. So
All right, so...
That's where that stands. It's just informational at this point.
All right, is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, we're adjourned.